Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the true warning has set. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. And so here's another communist coup update. A few more notes on Obama's valedictory speech, a.k.a. the State of the Union's address. The president alleged, where's your birth certificate, sir? Obama delivered his first State of the Union address January 27th, 2010. And by the way, things are moving in history these days. That's old news, isn't it? However, I offered some commentary on that speech in the last two shows, and there are a couple of things I wanted to address before I move on to other topics. And it's all very relevant to what's going on right now. I mean, it is surprising, the audacity of this man's hope. Presiding as he is over the greatest loss of jobs for Americans since, let's see, where is that? Here it is. Quote, networks fail to criticize Obama despite most jobs lost in a year since 1940, end quote. The national unemployment rate has hit double digits with 85,000 jobs lost in December of 2009. And the number of people who have no hope for work has increased to 642,000. And I understand that is the number of people who say they're just too discouraged to even look for work. But our president alleged Obama is audacious in his hope, is he not? Well, I would say he is audacious indeed in his arrogance and deceit. You know, those characters apparently are holding the stimulus money, sandbagging it, I guess, perhaps to unleash it in the coming election cycle in order to create a false sense of Obama magic that they hope will erase the anger that is felt in the hearts of so many that he has piled up over the last year. Well, we can only hope the trick won't work. As an aside, remember when even good economic news was not good enough for the mainstream media? I mean, they would spin even good news into somehow bad news, and now they totally ignore this clear failure on Obama's part to deliver on his promise of jobs. And then they're sandbagging the stimulus money? What is that about? Anyway, the greatest loss in jobs in any single year since 1940, and we find out that not even half of the stimulus money has actually been released. While these audacious communists are asking for yet more stimulus money when they haven't spent what they've got. Oh, mercy, they want a stimulus too. You know, these sequels are getting boring. I mean, actually, the first one was a disaster. The sequel promises to be an even greater disaster, God help us. A friend of mine was putting together some numbers trying to get to the actual indebtedness of the nation, the real national debt. The 1.4, 1.7 trillion number that we get so often really doesn't consider or doesn't include the Social Security and Medicaid debt that we owe. And this is because, so far as the Congress is concerned, those debts are debts to ourselves, and so they don't count. You see, the rationale is that they can dismiss these debts if they have to. And that's how they justify not counting them into the deficit. More dishonest hijinks from our beloved leaders. The people we send to Washington, they seem to be a bunch of lying snakes. Anyway, when you put all the numbers together, the per household debt exceeds $100,000 per household. Now, let's see. The current debt is $12,368,555,017,082.23. That is as of February 4th, 2010. Divide that by the number of households, and we'll use the estimate that's given to us for 2010, which is about 115 million homes or households. And then you get $107,553 on the backs of every household in the current debt. Hey, every household out there, You're on the hook for over $100,000, and that's before Obama gets done with all the spending he wants to add to the budget. And conservative estimates say his proposals will likely take us to double this. Others say triple. But have no fears. He is calling for a spending freeze to begin later. Later, after he ratchets up the debt another cool trillion or two. Malkin says, we are way beyond big government. We have gone into berserk government, and I agree. Quote, and President Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid are the wild-eyed maniacs driving this runaway train through one constitutional barrier after another and straight off a fiscal cliff, end quote. In another article, she points out some interesting facts about Obama's spending freeze. Quote, there are more loopholes in President Obama's proposed spending freeze than in an Olympic volleyball net, end quote. That's cute. But anyway, it's the the devil's in the details. Look at what is exempt from the freeze. Or in other words, look at what is not going to be frozen. Social Security will not be a part of the freeze. Medicare and Medicaid will not be part of the freeze. $500 billion in unspent stimulus money is not part of the freeze. The $154 billion so-called jobs bill that they're trying to cram into the debt wagon, I mean the wheels of which are straining under the debt already. The federal education program will be exempt. Green job spending will be exempt. You know, that ridiculous tax credit nonsense I spoke about in the last show, well, that'll be exempt from the freeze. Of course, the health care takeover plan, that's not included in the freeze. So what is included in the freeze? I mean, what freeze is he talking about? The one that is cooling off all the hot air phony predictions about global warming? You know, the increasing ice caps, the cooling earth trend? Anyway, Obama's spending freeze will save, they say, $250 billion. The New York Times, who never saw a murdering Marxist communist, they could not find a way to laud. Or an anti-American ACLU attack on Christianity it did not love, says, quote, the estimated $250 billion in savings over 10 years would be less than 3% of the roughly $9 trillion in additional deficits the government is expected to accumulate over that time. Heritage Foundation Con Carroll said this amounts to attempting to, well, bail out the sinking Titanic with a Dixie cup. So, what spending is Obama going to freeze? Well, only non-essential things, of course, like the judiciary. And bonuses for our military. You know, a couple of the institutions he's very fond of right now, right? And two of the institutions that are, by the way, included in the constitutional functions of government, in contrast to the ones he's going to protect, which are not. Do you want to know what the entitlement spending is going to cost Americans? Now, here, I read that in, let's see, the Heritage Foundation's founder report on the president's alleged speech. 43 trillion buckaroos, my friends. That's right, you heard me correctly. $43 trillion in excess costs. All right. So the spending freeze is really nothing but another squeeze on the taxpayer. It's a joke. And from what I gather, the prez intended to highlight that in his speech as some kind of a real positive thing, a statement that he has seen the light on fiscal responsibility. But by the time the teleprompters were all ready to go, well, the scam had been leaked. It had been exposed. And so they decided to downplay it. But they had to go with it because, well, it was on the teleprompter now. And, you know, this man cannot even make a statement to kindergartners without a teleprompter to tell him what to say. Actually, he did not use a teleprompter when he was speaking to the elementary kids at Graham Road Elementary School in Falls Church, Virginia. He did use them after he spoke to the kids during a staged media event at the school, after he spoke to the kids. So, you know, only when he is on camera. So he used the visit to the school to stump for his Race to the Top program. But the kids who were seated before him then were reporters, at least when he was using teleprompters. That's interesting. The mainstream media types were all seated in elementary school chairs and desks in front of the president while he was giving them a teleprompted speech about his Race to the Top. There's something very interesting in all of that that we won't take time to explore. When the State of the Union speech was, as we say, in the can, well, we should say in the teleprompter, there was no turning back. So the plan was changed, and he simply did not emphasize it as he had first planned to do. And all that goes into the box of Obama's a phony. But here's the thing. The operators in this current communist coup have a strategy. And we are under siege. And the strategy of the siege is to bleed us financially until we croak. God help us if we don't turn this thing around this coming November. We're going to be in some serious trouble. Huh? China owns something like 23.35% of the U.S. Treasury securities. And that is as of September 2009. However, they own only about 6.5% of our total national debt. Now, this is something I found interesting. To hear Obama and company talk, China owns us, and so we need to kowtow to the Chinese, you know. A senior Obama administration official, I forget his name, he put it this way. He said China needs, quote, strategic reassurance, end quote. And this is how they dub his policy with regard to China and Asia overall. Now, to conclude this segment, and to deliver my offering on this important subject for the moment, consider, China does not own us. And so I'm not concerned about China buying the U.S., but I am concerned about China burying the U.S. We have become a debtor nation, and that is very dangerous. But we own most of our own debt at present. If we continue down this path, that's going to change. The problem is more in the area of the communist sympathies and attitudes and beliefs of the current administration, together with the liberal Marxist fraternity that exists between the MSM, mostly stupid media, academia, and the liberal community generally these days. Pay attention, class. While Obama uses the significant amount of U.S. debt that China owns to advance a policy of make nice with China, the fact is China does not hold enough of our debt to actually be truly threatened by an American economic collapse. I mean, it would certainly be uncomfortable for them, but it wouldn't destroy them. I'm suspicious at this attitude that seems to get kicked around a lot up there in Washington and around the astroturfed fields of the make-believe world in which most liberals, it seems, lives today, but also sometimes down there on the real grass lawns of our working, producing public in the neighborhoods of this country. There is a tendency to see the threat from China as being economic. Our concern that they are buying up so much of our debt that they will come to own us. And then the other, even scarier side of this whole thing is the idea that that would be a good thing. Because, you see, if we can get China sufficiently tied in to our debt or to our economy, we can own them in a sense. Or I should say in the sense that we can become, for them, too big to fail, you know? You heard that one before? So that we owe them so much money, it will significantly hurt their economy if we default. And like, you know, who will be the debt collector for that one, huh? Keep that in mind. So the idea is we encourage them to invest more and more into our economy, and we get tied in more and more to the point that they are motivated to make certain America does not collapse economically, and so finds it in their best interest to protect their investment, so to speak. You get the idea. But I've been suspicious about this all along the way. I don't doubt the sincerity of those who pursued that particular strategy. The fact is China does not own so much of our debt that if we did fail, they would collapse. It is significant to be sure, but in the grand scheme of things, China has not behaved stupidly. They are not overextended in American debt. America is the place China has been dumping their excess revenues for a while now, at least for the time being. And their economy is growing something like 10% per year. Something like that. I mean, 8.9 one year, 11 point so on. Anyway, averages out something like 10% per year. However, not all of their excess revenues are being dumped into the sinking hole called America. Hey, a huge amount of their money is going into their military. China has been on a military buildup binge that rivals the Reagan years here. You know, that busted Russia. China has made it clear it intends to supplant U.S. power in the Pacific. Oh, yeah. So, or at least in Asia. Something thought impossible only 40 years ago is within reach for China today. Gates, our Secretary of Defense, recently warned us that China, in their military modernization program, could undermine U.S. military power in the Pacific. Think about that, huh? China has rattled her sword before. There is a deep bitterness in China that roots all the way back to the international security arrangements that the United States established after World War II. We won't get too deep into a history lesson here, as I am often wont to do, but enough to carry my point. China was left out of the discussion back then, her interests ignored and dismissed. Of course, I also agree that they were not legitimate. When China was too weak to have any say, she felt railroaded into all of that. Now, I can't explain all of it right now, but the point is this. China has made it clear she expects Taiwan to be returned to China. They have never forgiven the Western international community for defending Taiwan's claim of independence, and it is not going to go away. Furthermore, China believes in communism and is committed to spreading Marxist communism all over the world as an ideological motivation. Their idea of saving the world from itself is that all the world should come under communist rule with China as the ruler. However, some say China is not a threat. They don't own enough of our debt to actually have a controlling position. So their advice to Obama is, don't worry, be happy. China's not a threat. However, these notice that Obama is worried, and he talks about giving China strategic reassurance. And this seems to mean Obama intends to pursue a policy very different from what we have pursued in the past. Before, Bush and really all of his predecessors worked more subtly. They reached out to China to be sure, encouraged China to become interconnected in the world's economy, especially here in America. And this in order to make them interdependent. While at the same time, however, all of these administrations aggressively strengthened relations with Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, other countries that are threatened, Japan, other countries threatened by China. And they maintain a very strong military defense here at home, especially in the Pacific. Obama, on the other hand, is making moves and noises that sound very much like he intends to betray Taiwan. Perhaps even Singapore and Vietnam have reason to be concerned, and Japan. Japan's getting so concerned, they're beginning to reach out to China themselves in an effort to maybe ameliorate any possible hostility. Obama's going so far as reducing our own military strength in the Pacific as a way of signaling China, hey, don't worry, we're not going to continue a policy of attempting to contain China's rising power and influence in the region. Now, that is very interesting. He is using our indebtedness to China as a sort of excuse to justify this approach. But some of us are concerned he knows China does not have enough vulnerability or exposure to us on that score to make it a real deterrence against any future aggression. In fact, it looks like China is planning a military move in the Pacific and in Asia. Now look, my concern about China is not how much of our debt they own. Friend, they are shrewd customers. And I'll tell you right now, they are not overexposed here. They are milking it for all it is worth. They want to own just enough to have some say and influence, but not enough to expose them in any real danger. And if they have bamboozled Obama, well, we're not surprised, quite frankly. That young man is bumbling all over the place. He has totally fumbled his first year. However, my worst fear is that Obama, or his puppeteer, is fully aware of what China's up to. China is a controlled economy. And listen, I brought this to your attention before, capitalist communism, something you don't hear anything about. In fact, I think I coined the phrase. But there are some super rich who believe that a controlled economy is the best way to run a country, and those bent on taking us into a one-world government might think China would be a good tool to use to cut America down to size or to cut or compromise her influence.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
In the last segment, we discussed Obama's spending freeze fakery. He exempts all the entitlement programs from the freeze. He exempts from the freeze the very things that are pushing our deficit over the brink. While what he wants to freeze are some strategic elements of our military spending and judiciary. Perhaps a slap at the court for voting for free speech to include, all Americans and not be limited only to his communist friends anymore. Anyway, Obama wanted to sound fiscally responsible, so he has called for a spending freeze, something he called a hatchet job during the campaign, remember, when McCain suggested it. But, of course, his is different. You see, his is targeted. He will exempt all of the spending for his favorite socialist programs, but he will freeze spending on those government expenditures on constitutional functions of government, like the military and the judiciary. You don't know this yet, but he has cut back on bonuses made available to the military, snarls and snaps at bank executives who get their bonuses, but looks the other way when AIG executives get theirs. Fatty and Freddy were lovers, you know, helpers in the cause of converting America into a socialist dystopia. All right, anyway, we did some general analysis of the total indebtedness, and then I began to show where my real concerns are about all of this. Beside the fact that the current debt lays $107,000 on the backs of every household in America, and that this will likely triple if Obama and company get their way, I have found it curious how Obama has used the fact that China owns a significant amount of our debt as an excuse, or a rationale, if you will, to accommodate China in ways former administrations have not. In fact, the Obama administration is putting America as a whole into a posture similar to the one he took when he visited China here a while back, bowing and scraping. He is bowing to China's aggressive stance in Asia, and their threatening military buildup and making our allies very nervous. But the fact is, China does not own enough of our debt to justify such behavior. Nevertheless, like the good book says, Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert, the debtor is servant to the lender. And indeed, our leaders have made us a servant to our enemies. Nevertheless, the fact is, China does not have sufficient ownership of our debt to either totally ruin our economy or enough debt that would ruin theirs if our economy collapsed, at least not quite yet. And so I'm concerned. This is some phony excuse for Obama's foreign policy regarding China. China has made it clear she intends to establish herself as the dominant world power in Asia and even to control the Pacific. And she is aggressively building up her military might, becoming more and more aggressive as she becomes stronger militarily. Now, here's the concern. Obama's spending frenzy is weakening America at the precise time that China's economy is strengthening her. And her increasing in military might, and at the same time showing signs of militaristic intentions to spread her power, this is not a good time for America to go broke. He's pursuing a policy he calls strategic reassurance in Asia. Toward China particularly. Now, this seems to mean he wants to alleviate any concerns China might have about America's intentions to curtail her rising power in the Pacific, you know, and to check her reach, to extend her power into the countries surrounding China, and even to check her influence in countries like Russia and the oil-rich deserts of Arabia. Some say Obama is following a policy similar to what Britain did with America at the end of the 19th century. Britain essentially said America can have a hegemony in the Western Hemisphere, and the assumption was that America would eventually decline, and then Britain would reassert her former power in the world. That was the idea back then. And then hedging that gamble was the fact, well, that it was actually in Britain's best interest for America to have something like a hegemony in the West. Since the interests and ideologies of America were so closely aligned with Britain, well, this strategy proved indeed to be true throughout the 20th century. According to some experts, Obama's policy toward China seems to have the same elements, or some of the same elements. We'll let China rise in power unchecked, unchallenged by the U.S. and Asia. Whereas in times past, while China was invited to the economic community of nations, America made it clear her allegiance continued unabated to the independence of Japan, Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, and other interested allies. Obama, on the other hand, is setting his foreign policy chess pieces in a way that signals a green light to China. While the Britain policy worked with America, there was a virtual ideological brotherhood between U.S. and them. That brotherhood does not exist between the United States and China. Well, at least not between traditional Americans and China. At least not between patriotic Americans and China. At least not between constitutional Americans and China. But perhaps it does exist between Communist China and the Communist cabinet of Obama. Well, we'll see. Obama can be trusted to confuse. I mean, well, everybody. No doubt he is getting pressure from our allies over all this strategic reassurance nonsense. And so he seems recently to be sending at least symbolic signals of assurance to our allies. But you see, the thing is, he sends symbolic signals of assurance to our allies, at least some of them, not Britain, you know, of course. But when it comes to reassuring China, well, it's not just symbolic. He takes substantive steps toward accommodating China and only sends symbolic messages to assure our allies. And this is making me nervous. When it is all taken together, I am beginning more and more to be concerned about Obama's communist friends. China is full steam ahead toward establishing military and economic dominance in Asia. America seems to be removing every obstacle that once stood in her way. What is going on here? While America is besieged by a communist coup of the White House, the communist Red Dragon is rising in the East. My concern about China is not how much of our debt they are buying, although that is a concern. My concern about China is her oft-stated determination one day not to buy us, but to bury us. We cannot afford to weaken our economy any further until we are in a place of no return. Obamanomics, or Obanomics, as I've heard it said, will maneuver us into a position like that of Russia in the Reagan era, where an aggressive arms race with China, muscled up and with a significant head start, could cripple us. And so to conclude, America cannot go on murdering over 1 million babies every year and expect God will not hold us accountable for the shedding of innocent blood. Nor can we continue to welcome the rise and encourage the rise of the sodomites in our land and not expect a show of divine wrath upon our nation. These two sins, interestingly, all through the Bible and historically, are the two key sins that provoke the wrath of God to fall upon a people. Shedding innocent blood, especially the killing of children, and the countenancing of homosexuality is a welcome part of culture and society. You put all this together and then consider the recent move to remove the ban against open homosexuality in the military. That's silly Joe Bihar, I guess that's how you pronounce her name, protesting the Tim Tebow advertisement for pro-life to be aired during the Super Bowl. He's the Heisman Trophy winner whose mother was confronted with an unwelcome birth, an unwelcome pregnancy, but decided against abortion and gave birth to him. And he is making a statement in support of life in that commercial. And the pro-aborts are, as would be expected, furious. And this Joy Bihar, I don't know how to pronounce her name, co-host for the TV talk show called The View, she says something so stupid only a lame-brained liberal could have come up with it. She says, quote, Tim Tebow just as easily could have been a rapist pedophile, end quote. Oh, really? Tell me, Joy, what is the percentage of people who turn out to be rapist pedophiles? Is it 50%? Are you telling me you know that at least half of all the babies who've been murdered in abortuaries would have been rapist pedophiles? What a moronic statement. These vile people are so twisted and perverted in their thinking. Imagine saying such a thing. You knothead, do you really think half of the children who have been murdered by the abortionist would have turned out to be rapist pedophiles? He could just as likely have... Unbelievable. It's too much. Anyway, judgment is coming from the east, and we had better wake up. I've lit the lights in the belfry arch, the signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. By the way, thank you for all of you who called in last week. I appreciate that. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And I massage the gray matter, and you respond by giving me a call. And you say lights on if you agree, and you say lights off if you disagree. And you can reach me by email. Go to santamarialighthouse.org, click on the Contact Us button, and then write a message to me. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for this Saturday at 7:30 a.m. and Sunday at 7 a.m.